That's why it's called Good Friday. That's why we could say, thank God it's Friday. It's not for somebody else's sin. It's not because of something Jesus did. It's because of me that he hung there on the cross. I deserved to be crucified, but Jesus took the crucifixion in my place. Church, if this doesn't move you, you are in the wrong faith. How many here have ever heard the term TGIF? Some of you need to get out more. You're like, I don't know. I'm not good with those acronyms. It means thank God it's Friday. Who hears? Anybody ever said that before? Thank God it's Friday. Now, typically when we say that, we're thinking, oh man, I'm finally done with work. If you work Monday through Friday, or hey, the weekend's here, I'm just going to party and not go to church. Too far? We say all kinds of things like that, but I want this Friday, when we say thank God it's Friday, it's after tonight, it is going to have a whole new meaning for you. In fact, we're going to understand why we call it Good Friday and not Bad Friday. It was bad for Jesus, but it was good for us. Everyone say, thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
You see, because we're celebrating the fact that Jesus went to the cross. This is the day that we recognize and we remember that Jesus died for your sins and for my sins. That's what we're recognizing today. That's why it's called Good Friday. And we're finishing up our series called Eyewitness. And we've talked for the past several weeks about all the different people who were witnesses of Jesus' life and his teaching and his miracles. His disciples saw him walk on the water and raise the dead and do all kinds of things. People saw him heal blind people and heal lepers and do all kinds of crazy things and feed 4,000 people and 5,000 people. Amazing stuff happened in the life of Jesus. And people were eyewitnesses to that, and they had a front row seat to what Jesus was doing. Isn't it interesting that we oftentimes want a front row seat to everywhere but church, except for you people? God is blessing you. He's blessing you. But you knew who had the closest front row seat to the death of Jesus was the people who were crucified next to him. The thief on his right and the thief on his left. They saw the whole thing transpire. They saw Jesus get ridiculed. They watched the nails go in his hands and in his feet. They watched as people mocked and sneered as he walked by. They even joined with the people that did that. They watched as the spear was placed in his side and blood and water flowed out. They heard him say his last words. They watched him give his life as a ransom for many. They were eyewitnesses, front row to Jesus' death on the cross. To one, it was a time for him to say, this is a good Friday. This is the best Friday of my life. To another, it was the worst Friday of his life. And as we look at these two people on the cross that were crucified next to Jesus, I want you to know tonight, you are one of those two people. You are one of those two people. You are the one that says, man, this is a good Friday, or you're going to say, this is the worst Friday of my life. One accepted Jesus, and one rejected him. You are one of those two people. You cannot be in between. You either accept him, or you reject him. And as we look at the story, I want you to answer the question, which one would you be? Because here's how the story went in Luke chapter 23. It says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, talking about Jesus, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Stop right there for a second. Because here we see Jesus practicing what he preached. Because he told us while he was alive that we're to love our enemies and do good to them. And here he's doing it to the people that crucified him. And then he's fulfilling prophecy because this was prophesied that they would cast lots for his clothes. Don't ignore the scriptures as you read them. Pay attention to what they say. It goes on and says, the people stood watching. And the rulers even sneered at him. Now, this might shock you, but they didn't have Netflix back then. They didn't have Amazon Prime or Apple TV. They didn't have ESPN. So when people wanted to watch something crazy going on, they watched the crucifixion. This was like a pastime for many people. It was kind of like, you know, even in the early days of America, when people would get hanged for their crimes, people would go to the hanging. This is kind of what's happening here. And people would watch. It was like a spectacle to them. And so they're watching Jesus get crucified. And they said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one. Remember last week, if you were here on Sunday, we talked about how the people were celebrating Jesus coming in, and they were saying, Hosanna, save us. But now they're saying, hey, Jesus, save yourself. That's kind of our human sinful mindset where we think we can save ourselves. If you're really, we don't believe anything else you did, Jesus. We don't have faith in you because of anything else. But if you come down from that cross, then we'll believe. But wait till he comes out of the empty tomb. Then we believe. So the soldiers also came and mocked him, and they offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. See, they're taunting Jesus. Save yourself. And there was written notice above him which read this, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? If you think of a sarcastic mocking tone, if you could imagine that on a dying man who's hanging on a cross, this is what's coming across in this guy's from this guy's mouth. It says, save yourself and us. Please do something. If you're really who you say you are, please do something. But the other criminal rebuked him. He says, don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, he says, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me. Everyone say, remember me. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Here we see the difference of two individuals that are crucified on Good Friday next to Jesus. Both watch the nails go in his hands and feet. Both of them watch the spear in his side. Both of them watched him give his life. Both of them had the same access to Jesus. But one had a completely different response from the other. One cursed and sneered at him, and the other said, Jesus, would you please remember me? Tonight, every single person in this room is one of those two guys. For some of you, you have been making the decision for years to sneer at Jesus, to just mock him as some sort of hobby, or something you should do when it's Easter or Christmas. For many people, that's us. And we give out our life, we pour out our life, but Jesus has nothing to do. And we basically want Jesus to do his favors. Jesus, please get me down from this cross. Please fix my problem. And then some of you are like the other one who said, you know what? I deserve the punishment that I'm getting. I deserve the things that are happening. And what I need is I need a Savior. What I need is I need Jesus. And there needs to come that recognition in our life. Which one are you? See, all of us are in that stage because Romans 3 says this. It says, for everyone has sinned. Everyone say, that's me. That's me. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a sinner. And then say, me too. Don't laugh about that. Why are you giggling? Shouldn't be fun. Sinners, being a sinner is wrong. It's not like a hobby. What do you do for fun? I sin. That's not what it's supposed to be. We're all sinners, right? We need to recognize that about ourselves. We're going to talk about it on Sunday too, so come back for more. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. What is God's glorious standard? Holiness, righteousness, perfect love, perfect grace, perfect peace, perfect life. That's God's standard. Anybody meet that? No one. No one but Jesus. Because of our sin, we don't just need improvement. The truth is we deserve judgment. We have to start here if we're going to recognize why Good Friday is called good. We oftentimes think, well, I'm a good person. We tell other people that. We think it in our mind, well, if I just do more good things, if I'm just better, then that'll get me there. But we're not good. Bible tells us clearly that we all fall short. This is why without Jesus, this is the worst Friday ever. But we need him. We recognize that we deserve death, and that's what Romans tells us in Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Imagine that was your paycheck. And that was just written, death. Paid to Zachary Elliott. That's me, by the way. Paid to Zachary Elliott, death. That's the wages I earn because of my sin. That's what's promised me if I don't have a Savior. If I don't have Jesus to call upon. One thief didn't recognize that. The other one did. And when he did recognize, the other guy's mocking him. I mean, it's so crazy to me that even on this guy's deathbed, he would still be mocking and ridiculing and not trying to think of some way to get right with God. He was just, all he knew is he was dying, and so he just became a slanderer, probably worse than he was before in real life. But the other guy on his deathbed recognizes, man, there's something wrong with me. I did something wrong here. I deserve this punishment. And I think we miss that boat sometimes when we don't recognize we deserve the wages of our sin. That's what the Bible says. We deserve God's judgment. Each and every one of us deserves to be crucified for our sin. This is what is owed to us. And if we don't recognize that, then we truly do not recognize why today is called good. Because we deserve the wrath. Say, well, no, I don't deserve. We do. Because the Bible clearly tells us that. We deserve it. And that's what the one thief recognized. He goes, don't you have any fear? We're getting what did he say? What we deserve. We deserve this punishment. And he recognized it. God began working on his heart. And the moment the thief recognized his sin was the moment that his worst day became Good Friday. When he recognized, that was the moment his life began to transform. When he recognized in front of Jesus the Savior, I am a sinner. And I deserve everything that I'm getting. And he recognized in himself the wrongness and the wretchedness of his sin on his deathbed. Don't you fear God? We're getting what our sin deserves. And that's very telling for you and I, because the moment that you recognize your sins is the moment Jesus' worst day becomes your Good Friday. Because it's that moment where we recognize, man, just like this guy on the cross, I need a Savior. I need help. Because the truth is, Jesus did not die for his own sins because he had none. He died for our sins. Everyone say, my sins. He died for our sins. Not somebody else's. He died for all of our sins. That was the sacrifice he made on the cross. That's what makes Isaiah chapter 53 so rich and so powerful and so deep and so meaningful and should drive conviction stakes in the very core of our heart. Because it says this in Isaiah 53, it says, he, Jesus, was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. That's what people are doing, sneering and laughing at Jesus. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior. Save yourself. You got to do it yourself. And they just mocked him. It says he was despised and we did not care. Yet, it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought that his troubles were a punishment from God. And that's true, because when they were crucified in Jesus' day, anyone that was crucified was under utter shame. And they were considered cursed by God. The Bible even says that. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. So they mocked, oh, that God's punishing him for what he did. It's a punishment for his own sins. But it goes on and says, but, everyone say but. But he was pierced for our rebellion. Take that personal. He was pierced for my rebellion. He was crushed for my sins. He was beaten so that I could be made whole. And he was whipped so that I could be healed. He did it for me. on the cross. That's why it's called Good Friday. That's why we could say, thank God, it's Friday. It's not for somebody else's sin. It's not because of something Jesus did. It's because of me that he hung there on the cross. I deserved to be crucified, but Jesus took the crucifixion in my place. Church, if this doesn't move you, you are in the wrong faith. Because there is no greater good news in the world than that. Somehow one of the criminals recognized it, and he simply said, Jesus, remember me. Just remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. And a little seed of faith, the smallest little speck of faith, began to bloom in his life. This moment where he first recognized what a wretched sinner he was, and he looked at Christ, and he says, listen, I recognize that you don't deserve any of this, but I do. Remember me. Something about you is supernatural. Something about you is good. Something about you is holy. And Jesus, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. And just that little seed of faith planted in his life and blossomed unto salvation. Because Jesus said, listen, truly, I'm telling you the truth, man. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Do you know why? Because it's not the strength of your faith that saves you. It's the strength of your Savior. And his name is Jesus. And that's what this guy recognized. And listen, you might be here today and you're like, well, I don't have as much faith as Pastor Matt, or I don't have as much faith as Pastor Zach, or I don't have as much faith as these people who do this. Listen, the Bible says, Jesus said, if you just have faith as small as a mustard seed, I'm telling you what, you can't get a faith any smaller than just telling Jesus as you're dying, just remember me. And Jesus, who's so eager to pour out his grace, who's so compassionate to pour out his blood, who's so loving to sacrifice himself for us, he says, that's all I needed. Today, your eternity begins. And that's the day it became the best Friday of his life. You are one of these two people. The one rejected him and would not turn to faith. The one just called out in the most simple way, faith. Jesus, help me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, it says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. Jesus didn't come for the pleasure of making you happy. He came to sacrifice himself for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight, what? When they believe in Jesus. It starts and ends with faith. It's not about what you should have done or what you should do or what you can do or what you need to do. It all starts with faith in Jesus Christ. One rejected him and one simply said, I recognize that there's something wrong with me. Jesus, remember me. And that plea from his heart was the moment that salvation reigned in his life. And it became Good Friday. And Jesus did the same for all of you. Because he came to die for the sins of the world, he willingly laid down his life for the sins of the world. If this doesn't excite the church, nothing will. You see, we have to get past the point of religiosity. The point where we're just kind of going through the religious motions and recognize the deep depravity of our life that sin causes, the wretchedness of ourselves, our propensity to rebellion, the power and the grip that darkness has on us. The reason that we need a Savior is because I'm utterly bankrupt and hopeless without Him. I am crucified for my sin. Oh, Jesus, remember me. Look upon me with grace and mercy. I need you because I am hopeless without you. This is the good news of Good Friday, that He paid the price that we could not pay of our own. And how arrogant we are to think that we can. Oh, how we needed Him to be good for us on that Friday. That He would sacrifice His life when we were dead. You see, the Bible says in Colossians, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Why? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all your sins. No one came more alive than that guy on the cross after he died, because He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Your body's going to die, but I'm telling you what, you are going to live because of my sacrifice for you. And it goes on, it says, He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. You ever have anybody in your life that just reminds you of just what a loser you are? I remember what you did 7 years ago, and don't you think I'm going to forget it. Maybe you're one of those people, you just remember all the wrongs everybody did. I remember what you did, and I've got a roster, I've been keeping track. The good news about Jesus is this. Because He went to the cross, because He took the whip, because He took the ridicule, because He took the shame and the rejection, because they spit on Him and they put the thorns on his head, because they pulled out His beard and they beat Him and they whipped Him, unrecognizable, the Bible says, like from one who we hide our faces from. He was so abused. When you saw Him, you had to turn away because it was so gross. Because He took the full wrath of God in our place, our sin can be cut away, and we are declared right in His sight because of His sacrifice. Righteous in His sight only because of what Jesus did. See, one thief held onto his sin to his last breath, the other turned to Jesus with his. And I got to tell you, the coming to Jesus is not a one-time prayer. You know, what's interesting about the guy on the cross that put his faith in Jesus Christ, he didn't go to church, he didn't get baptized, he didn't take Fusion Family Member class. He never listened to one of my sermons. But he had a moment with Jesus. He had a front row seat to the Savior. And it moved him to repentance. And I'm sure that if he could have got off that cross and lived out his life, he would have been baptized. He would have been part of a church. He would have been part of the family of God, the body of Christ. He would have done all those things. But that wasn't his lot. It was his time to die, but yet to live for Christ in eternity. You have a life to live. And there are things in your life that are holding you back and keeping you nailed to the cross, so that you're not experiencing the full, rich life that God has for you. Because you're hanging on to that thing. It could be your guilt. It could be your shame. It could be your addiction. It could be your doubt and your fear and your hurt. It could be your unforgiveness. It could be your hate. It could be your laziness and your complacency. It's keeping you nailed to that cross so that you can't live for Christ. Every single person has something that the enemy is trying to pin to them. It's trying to say, God's not going to forgive you for that. God's not going to use you because of that. God, you're wasting your time. You're too, how about this? I think this is the American sin. You're too busy for God. And it keeps us from calling out to Jesus. I think sometimes maybe we would have been better to be that guy on the cross. Because as he's hanging there dying, he's got nothing else to distract him from the Savior. Just him and God. Jesus, remember me. You are one of those two people tonight. As we celebrate Good Friday, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, Christ suffered for our sins once and for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. That day, that thief on the cross, both of them actually, watched Jesus die because he died before them. And the one in his last moments sneered at Jesus, and the other one called out to Jesus. And that very day, Jesus brought him home to God. This is not your home, but this is the moment that you live for him as you're heading home. So the question is, what's keeping you from doing that? What's nailing you to the cross? What's keeping you from saying, Jesus, I need you? It's like that guy on the cross. Everyone has something. No one is exempt. We all have our struggle. We all have our hookups and our hangups. We have the things that keep us from full relationship with Christ. Some of you, like the crowd, think you can save yourself, but you can't. Only Jesus can do that. He's the one. So can we just put away our religious card for a minute? Can we put away our I went to Good Friday service card, and I'm going to go to Easter, and then I might go again next Easter? Because I'm telling you right now, listen, there is no greater thing in the world than knowing Jesus. And not just knowing him here, but knowing him here and following him and saying, Jesus, I don't need you just for a one-time prayer. I need you for my life and my eternity. I need you. That's a totally different way to live.